My commentary today credits Jeff Dornick of NOG Report, Issues and Insights, Miranda Devine of the New York Post, and William Jasper of the New American for their research and contributions, which I combine with my own. There is no question as to what is the greatest threat to America today. It is the liberal mainstream media. It is they who fan racism on a daily basis. And it is the media who panics the American people with excessive and questionable COVID-19 coverage. It is the mainstream media that gives us a daily onslaught of anti-Trump fake news and then cites a poll showing Trump trailing Joe Biden. We expect that from a Democrat Party desperate to return to power, but we used to count on the media in America for truth and unbiased reporting. No rational person can review the media coverage of Donald Trump and call it fair. Even before Trump was elected, the media and devious Democrats plotted to block his election. And when the people put him in office, the media teamed with Democrats to unseat the president. Can we not all realize how dangerous this is? All future presidents are to be assaulted as Donald Trump has been? Are we to allow the media to determine who can be our president? The election in November is the greatest crossroads America has ever faced. If Joe Biden wins, that's the end of America as we know it, and that's not opinion, it is a fact. Historically, elections have usually been a choice between two similar candidates, one campaigning slightly to the left, the other slightly to the right. Oftentimes, our vote is seen as a lesser of two evils choice. This election is different. In November, we'll have the choice between a patriotic, American-loving president in Donald Trump, who has a high value for the United States Constitution, and a leftist candidate in Joe Biden, who will surely enact big government, socialist laws, and the Democrats and their media allies are seeking to keep our attention focused on Donald Trump's personality and forget about looking at the alternative, a faltering Democrat with almost a half century of accomplishing nothing in politics, one Joe Biden. The task for Democrats and the media is to keep Biden out of sight, except for carefully choreographed pictures of him reading a script in TV ads. They're even trying to get Biden out of debating Trump. But the American people need to see for themselves whether Joe Biden is capable of being president, and the two scheduled debates would help answer that question. Democrats and the media know that Biden is apt to run off the rails when not carefully scripted, and their worst nightmare is Biden outside of his basement and debating Trump. However, here's our biggest danger as conservatives. If Joe Biden is elected, we're going to see millions of illegal immigrants become citizens. That's millions of votes for the Democrat Party. We'll see felons getting the right to vote, which will be more votes for the Democrat Party. We'll see mail-in ballots be expanded. Again, this will expand the number of Democrat voters. We'll see Washington, D.C. become a state, which again will give the Democrats two more Senate seats. We have to understand all of the ramifications of a Biden presidency, and it's more than 4 years. If Joe Biden becomes president, it may be decades before we see another Republican president, if we ever see one at all. I'm simply looking at the numbers, what the Democrats are trying to accomplish, and I see no positives coming out of a Biden presidency or virtually any chance of coming back from it. Democrats and the media want you to ignore what Trump has accomplished in 4 short years and focus solely on his personality, a personality they have embellished and partially created. But even if you don't like Trump's personality, he is our only chance at preserving freedom and liberty in the United States. Think about it. Trump will definitely be more conservative and more constitutional than Joe Biden. On top of that, if Trump wins, we have a chance of winning in 2024 simply because of the fact that amnesty for millions of illegal aliens won't happen, D.C. won't become a state with 2 senators, and felons won't get the right to vote. Tweeting from presumably his basement, Joe Biden promised that if elected in November, quote, "We won't just rebuild this nation, we'll transform it," end quote. Did Biden forget that he was, for 8 years, vice president in the Obama administration, whose chief executive said just before the 2008 election that we were 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America? It would now be up to a feeble Biden to guide the Democrat Party through its full transition to the party of the deranged. Ram through a soul and economy-shredding New Green Deal. Fan the hate America flames. Encourage the counterculture. Emasculate males. Make the federal tax system as punitive as possible. Appoint a Black Lives Matter co-founder to a top federal post. Further insulate our institutional elitists who have long lived in a bubble. Regulate, regulate, regulate. Violate, then try to repeal the First and Second Amendments. Mainstream the squad's lunatic policies and Marxist views. Prosecute a war on plastic and make the country more like Venezuela. Keep listening as I tell you the names of Biden's main backers, and you'll see that I am not exaggerating. Biden was vice president to the former community organizer Barack Hussein Obama, and they oversaw the weakest, slowest economic recovery in America's post-war history. He wasted public money on a mammoth financial stimulus that had the opposite effect, but made millions for Obama's backers. Obama widened a racial divide that had begun closing, something that had been going on for decades. Their foreign policy took America from a position of strength to one in which America became a soft spot that invited bad faith leaders of other nations to exploit us. The national health care program named after Biden's leader has been a debacle. The man Joe Biden followed as vice president never missed a chance to lowlight the country that provided him with an opportunity he'd have nowhere else on earth. And still, Obama said the United States was nothing special. The Obama-Biden administration overflowed with scandals, from the IRS targeting conservative groups that oppose their policies, to gun-walking weapons to drug traffickers in Mexico and the United States, to the 2012 attack on an American facility in Benghazi, Libya, in which 4 Americans were murdered by terrorists, including our ambassador to Libya. On to the Obama-Biden role in the attempted coup of President Donald Trump. It is neither crazy nor racist to say that Obama was the worst president of our lifetime, maybe the worst of the modern era. But that could change. If Biden is elected, he may well turn out to be worse than Obama. At least Obama had his mental faculties about him. Biden is whatever his far-left backers tell him to be. And who are Biden's puppeteers dangling him on a string? They are trying to sell Biden as a moderate. And compared to the lineup in the Democrat primaries, perhaps he is. When faced with far-left loonies like Bernie Sanders, Beto O'Rourke, Pete Buttigieg, Kamala Harris, and Cory Booker, Biden may seem moderate by comparison. Aside from Biden's long public record of supporting far-left positions on political, social, economic, and moral issues, his list of current endorsers speaks volumes about the agenda we can expect from a Biden presidency. Consider this abbreviated list of Biden's endorsers. We start with Bernie Sanders. Biden has not only adopted the Sanders platform, but goes even further to the left than Bernie. He's pulled there by people like Ilhan Omar, who refused to endorse Biden until he finally gave in to her demands. Minnesota Representative Ilhan Omar and Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison are two of the most prominent and militant Muslim elected officials in the nation. They are involved with a group called Engage Action, which is working to turn out Muslims to vote for Biden and Democrats. Biden, like House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, and other apostate Catholic politicians who reject their church's teachings on abortion, marriage, and other moral issues, is effusive in their praise for Islam. Joe Biden told a Muslim summit that, quote, "I wish we taught more in our schools about the Islamic faith," end quote. This from a man who has steadfastly endorsed keeping Christianity out of our schools. Ilhan Omar made it clear that she was finally endorsing Joe Biden because he had turned a corner and become as progressive as she was. That ought to send out alarm bells to us all. So, who else supports Biden? Jane Fonda, the unrepentant activist traitor who sided with the communist Viet Cong while they were killing American soldiers. In fact, Hanoi Jane hosted a celebrity-filled campaign fundraiser for Biden with her Hollywood comrades. Then there is Angela Davis, the longtime terrorist communist professor, Black Panther activist, and official candidate on the Communist Party USA ticket in 1980 and 1984. She recently gave support for Biden in an interview on Vladimir Putin's Russia Today channel. And, of course, the Communist Party USA, who preferred Bernie Sanders' full-on socialism, but coalesced behind Biden when Biden adopted Bernie's agenda and even took it further left to appease Omar. The Communist Party USA spokesperson said this, "We must defeat Trump and the GOP while working to build a mass movement for socialism in this country." Then on June 15th, Planned Parenthood announced on public radio that the nation's largest chain of baby-killing abortion mills would be endorsing and supporting Biden through its Planned Parenthood Action Fund. Much of that money comes from American taxpayers. Evan Wolfson, a militant homosexual attorney who led the LGBTQ legal attack on the Boy Scouts of America, is widely proclaimed the architect of the gay rights movement, and he is in bed with Joe Biden. Then there is Move On, the militant organization launched with major funding from billionaire George Soros, and that has funded numerous political campaigns for radical candidates and helped orchestrate so-called peaceful street chaos for the past two decades. Biden has overwhelming support from this radical group, which praises his platform as the most progressive platform in Democrat Party history. Bernie Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez The two most well-known radical socialists in the Democrat Party are Biden advisors. That is to say that they advise and Biden consents. And in addition to Hanoi Jane Fonda, the Hate Trump Club of Biden endorsers includes people like Alec Baldwin, Ben Affleck, Leonardo DiCaprio, Cher, Alyssa Milano, Snoop Dogg, George Clooney, Whoopi Goldberg, Tom Hanks, Spike Lee, Bill Maher, Rob Reiner, Howard Stern, Barbara Streisand, Steven Spielberg, and Joy Behar, and many more. Currently, with the COVID-19 agenda and the BLM Antifa riots and revolution taking the anti-Trump, anti-American Christian bigotry to unprecedented levels, Biden apparently feels comfortable now putting the pedal to the socialist metal, depending on his media allies to continue providing him cover by calling him a moderate. But as Election Day approaches, it's going to be harder for Biden to extricate himself in voters' minds from the forces of chaos and destruction in smoldering Democrat cities that his political endorsers have unleashed and promoted. In addition to all of this, a Joe Biden presidency would be a disaster for our schools. He sent his own children to an elite private school and parades as the Black Lives Matter candidate. Yet his policies are openly hostile to the educational choices that offer the best chance for minority advancement. There is nothing that will do more to close the inequality gap in America than improved education among those in that gap. Yet the Biden-Bernie Sanders unity policy platform aims a dagger at charter schools, insisting they undermine the many extraordinary public schools in this country. It targets for-profit charter schools for destruction, while strangling the rest with demands for accountability. It calls for accepting a labyrinth of red tape, ideological intrusion in the curriculum, ending high-stakes testing, mandating teacher diversity, and restricting discipline procedures. What is it with Democrats and their hostility to schools that offer poor minority kids the best ticket out of generational poverty and disadvantage? Of course we have some extraordinary schools in America, but you won't find those schools in poor neighborhoods. Biden made his views clear at a public education forum last December when he said if he becomes president, charter schools are gone. Charter does not mean better, says Biden's manifesto. But, in fact, as Thomas Sowell wrote in his brilliant new book, Charter Schools and Their Enemies, the success of charter schools in closing the racial education gap is a reproach to teachers' unions and their political enablers. Sowell, a senior fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institute, lays out the evidence, focusing on charter school students in New York City from the Success Academy, which educates 20,000, mostly low-income Black and Latino students, in 47 schools in Brooklyn, the Bronx, and Manhattan, and the KIPP Network, which educates 100,000 students in 242 schools, more than 95% are Black or Latino. To counter the theory that charter schools cream off children from the most motivated families, Sowell points out that students are selected by lottery, and only a fraction of those who apply are accepted. Yet the ones who miss out and have to continue at their traditional public schools never perform as well as their charter school counterparts. So it is the school that adds the value. Sowell compares apples to apples. Charter school students who share buildings with traditional school students from the same socioeconomic and racial backgrounds and the same neighborhoods. The results show that charter kids outperform their public school counterparts in almost every single case. In 2019, most students in New York's public schools failed to pass the statewide tests in mathematics and English. But most of the city's charter school students passed in both subjects. Sowell points out that the educational achievement gap between students in low-income minority communities and those in the larger society has been closed in New York's city charter schools, but not in the traditional unionized public schools in the same buildings with them. What's more, charter schools in low-income minority neighborhoods have sometimes achieved higher educational results than schools in affluent white neighborhoods. This is success, a remarkable success. What is equally remarkable, though, is how unwelcome this success has been in so many places, according to Sowell. Parents are voting with their feet. More than 50,000 students are on waiting lists to get into New York City charter schools, and an estimated 1 million more on waiting lists nationwide. But if Biden and New York Mayor de Blasio get their way, that chance to climb the ladder of aspiration will disappear. Teachers' unions are hostile to the fact that charter schools can hold teachers accountable for educational outcomes and can fire them for incompetence. That's not so in the public system, where the tenure protections of unionized teachers mean that firing an incompetent teacher, on average, takes 830 days and costs $313,000. Sowell wrote. It is an alarming sign of capitulation that KIPP announced it will abandon its founding motto, work hard, be nice, because somehow it diminishes the significant effort to dismantle systemic racism. This is an Orwellian reversal of the truth. Working hard and exerting self-discipline is the key to a good education. And a good education is the best weapon against racial inequality. Whatever motivates the enemies of charter schools, you cannot describe it as anything but evil. How else do you characterize adults willing to sacrifice the welfare of powerless children to entrench their own power? Joe Biden has also delayed announcing the woman of color who will be his running mate. The leaking and infighting in the Biden campaign shows what a mess Biden created for himself by allowing identity politics to dictate his choice for vice president, one that's more crucial for him than any previous presidential candidate. Biden's advanced age and declining mental energy mean that his vice president needs to be a match fit to step into his shoes. Yet, he dare not choose someone so ambitious that she will overshadow him in his first term. Someone like Kamala Harris. That's what Obama did with Joe Biden. He knew that Biden would not overshadow him. We should also find it offensive that Biden prefers to look for a vice presidential candidate who is black and female rather than the most qualified candidate. To make such an announcement in a blatant plea for the black and woman vote was ill-advised and plain stupid. We can all see the sands of Joe Biden's mental awareness sifting through the hourglass of time. His vice president pick will most certainly replace him, and the odds are she will need to step in before Biden's term is over. Should the color of that person's skin or gender be the criteria for a vice president and or a president? Joe Biden's time has passed, much like that of the horse and buggy. We dare not let Democrats take over the Senate, the White House, or retain control of the House of Representatives unless we want to embrace the Democrat Party's mad dash for socialism in America. My friends, they make no secret of their socialism and their dash for it. Look at the people that Biden has surrounded himself with and how he has changed opinion after opinion again and again when people like Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar and Bernie Sanders tell him to hop, skip, and jump. Biden has done it, and he will continue to do it. This is serious business. We're talking about the huge future of the United States of America. Democrats are talking about how best to make that America a socialist country. We should all be concerned with that. I'd love to hear from you on my commentaries, what you think, whether you agree or disagree. You can do that by emailing me at tom@tomjoyner.net. That's Joyner with a Y. tom@tomjoyner.net. I hope you'll take a minute to drop me an email and let me know what you think. I put a lot of time and effort into my research and into these commentaries. It's not easy work, but I hope it's rewarding work, and I'll know that when I hear from you. So contact me by email at tom@tomjoyner.net. And I'll be back again next week, God willing, same time and same station. And God bless America.